What if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Scarrett and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Welcome back to the Brand Archetypes Podcast, everyone. This is Kevin Scarrett, and I am with Amy Zander. Hi, Amy. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty well, Kevin. How about you?
Peachy. And we have also a special guest on the line today as well. And Amy, I'm going to go ahead and let you introduce Sonia.
Yeah, so our special guest today is Sonia Marquardt, a lawyer and owner of Regent Law in Michigan. And Sonia and I have been friends for a couple years now. We met at a Dale Carnegie course that we took together, and we have been friends since. And we are super happy to have Sonia on today. And we're going to talk about her brand and how she did the brand discovery session and how her brand has evolved since she's been thinking about it in that way. So welcome, Sonia.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here and tell everyone about my company and how we use brand archetypes when it comes to marketing our company.
Excellent.
Yeah, so do you want to tell us a little history about you and your education and your company, how long you've been in business? Just give us the rundown.
I will. I will give it a quick rundown. I have been in business since 2009. I had a law partner for a while, and then in 2014, I went out on my own so that I no longer had that partner. And we've been in business continuously since 2009.
So how much did you think about your brand of your company when you first started?
When I first started, to me, a brand was only my logo and how all of my materials looked. I had no idea that it had anything to do with the voice that your company had or the manner in which you portrayed your company. My first law partner did not want to have a logo at all. He didn't think it was important. So I had logos designed and kind of kept them in my back pocket, because I wasn't going to use a logo that only half of the company used. But when I first started, in my brain, my brand was just a logo. I started a law practice without ever intending to own a business, and I didn't put much thought into that. So at the end of the day, I just looked at what my brand was as my logo.
Right. That's so interesting. And I think that that's a really common thing that a lot of people do. And we've talked before on this show about how your logo and fonts and colors and things like that are identity pieces, are part of your brand. But you're so right. And we encounter that so many times where people don't think about that emotional connection that they're making with people. And so that's why, you know, the biggest reason why Kevin and I love brand archetypes, because it brings in that element in a really easy way. So before we start talking about the brand archetype specifically in your company, I just wanted to briefly mention or ask you about the social media marketing class that you took through Kevin and I too. Because I know you did that. You've been a great client, because you are one of those people that is really interested in making your brand as solid as you possibly can. And Kevin and I haven't talked about this a lot, but we do have a series of classes that we have created that takes people from A to Z, basically, in their social media marketing. And you were a participant in the first time that we did that class. So can you just talk a little bit about how that helped you?
And just to point out that Sonia was the one sitting in the front row taking copious notes and bringing fruit to the teachers, yeah, and, you know, answering all the bonus questions and asking for extra credit. So
for
yeah,
sure.
So,
yeah. Teachers are high. Yeah.
Now, also, I wanted to, in the context of this, knowing that Sonia was a really, really good student in our class, but learning social media is kind of outside of brand, but is so dramatically affected by it. All aspects of marketing are affected by the archetype selection. And so Sonia, as you answer, kind of keep it in the context of, you know, what kinds of brand activities and thought processes happened in this whole social media thing.
Sure. Well, first, what everyone should know about me is that if I could get paid to go to school for the rest of my life, I would. I would have no career at all. I would just be a student forever. So
hear, hear.
Showing up to classes and participating is one of my favorite things to do. And I spent more time driving to and from this social media class than actually in class. But it truly changed the way that I look at my marketing. I signed up because Amy said, hey, I think I'm going to do this class about kind of social media, helping you decide what to post and where to post it and maybe do a blog. And in my brain, I'm sitting there thinking, well, I've always been told I should blog, but I don't know why. And I know I really need to up my social media marketing game. And so this seemed like a great opportunity. And I devoted that time for 12, 14 Fridays. I can't remember how much it was, but it truly changed my outlook on how I approach my marketing. And I look at it now as a whole package and making sure that I post in multiple places for the same content and keeping that content in front of people, which actually helps grow my audience and then grows my referral base and all of those things. And it helps me accomplish what I really want to do, is to help other people. But that social media marketing class changed my outlook on so much, and it covered things from Twitter. I'm still not good at Twitter, by the way. Instagram, Pinterest, my Facebook marketing, how to run ads, how to actually resize your photos so that what you're posting on your blog posts are the right size. It never occurred to me. But, you know, I'm a lawyer. I'm a lawyer and a scientist. That's what I was before I went to law school, was a scientist. So I'm a lawyer and a scientist, and all this technological stuff, I just don't know. So it was super helpful for that.
Excellent. Well, so before we go any further, let me ask, what archetype did you pick? Now, I know, but you know, I want you to tell the listeners what, and there's a reason why I'm asking. So what archetype did you pick?
Sure. My archetype is the innocent and the caring archetype. So after we put down all of my words and divided them up into categories, we came up with the really cool aunt.
Ah, very cool. Okay, so the cool aunt is the single focus that you have in mind.
Yes.
And it's a combination of the innocent archetype and the caregiver or the mother that is interchangeable, an interchangeable name. And for the listeners who heard the mother and innocent archetype podcast that we did, they know that those two always sit next to each other. So they're very, very closely related to each other. Now, I find it really interesting that you picked that combination of archetypes as a law firm, because just about every law firm that I've ever encountered has always picked the guru archetype or the guru or the sage archetype. And the fact that we kind of directed you to not take that approach, and that you embraced it and picked something else completely different. Have you found that taking a different approach than all your competition allows you to differentiate yourself in a stronger way?
It certainly does. So I've always told people that I'm a different type of law firm. And part of it is that I started my law practice with the whole idea of helping people and helping them to understand the law products that are out there, why they have certain estate planning documents, how to use them, and how we can help protect people. I joke that I protect the universe. So when I started this whole process, I thought for sure I would be the hero archetype, because that's what I wanted to be. But thankfully, I kept an open mind, and kind of we wrote down all the words and we went through and categorized them. And truly, they ended up being more in line with the innocent and the mother archetype, which really helps me then make sure that I can portray what my true goal is in my law practice, which is to protect people's families and help take care of them.
Which is clearly not the approach that most law firms take.
Right.
You know, not known for being warm and fuzzy at all. Most law firms are. So kudos for you for picking something boldly different and then embracing it and succeeding with it. So
thank you. I'm a hugger. So I work hard to make sure that all my clients get hugs and want to hug me when they walk out the door.
Aw. Yeah, so we didn't ask you this earlier. I feel like we should take a moment for you to just let our listeners know what the focus of your law firm is. You had mentioned estate planning, but you want to elaborate a minute on that?
Certainly. So we practice estate planning, and ultimately we make sure that everyone has their trusts and their wills and those types of things in place, which would help protect their minor children, even all the way up to their adult children, and make sure that when something happens to you, your stuff is taken care of. It's given to the people that you want it to be given to in a time frame that you want it given to them. And it's done in the easiest way possible. Another focus of my law firm is making sure that we can capture that legacy. My dad is a German immigrant. He arrived here in 1952. My grandmother went through all sorts of strife, really, being a refugee and all of those things. And I wanted to know her story, and I never got to know that story. So it's really important to me to make sure that those stories are recorded so that your family knows what you went through and what your life was like.
That is so amazing. And I was just, I follow you on social media and we're friends, and I'm also very interested in your business. And I just saw a new service or a new thing that you're starting about ways to capture that story. And I'm really excited about that. My mom has been talking about writing a book about her story, and I think this will really help her. So tell us a little bit about that new thing that you're doing for your clients.
Ultimately, we will just post a video once a week on our social media platforms that gives you one question. And if you want, you can take that week to record your answer to that question, either by writing it down or simply by recording a quick video or turning on the voice recorder on your phone, right? All of those things your family would love to either read, listen to, or listen to and see your face. And by having you answer those questions, it'll help you have a starting point. Most people tell me that they don't have a story and that they're working on creating their story. And I remind them that every piece of their life is a story. From who you sat next to in kindergarten and what you remember most about playing on the playground, to how you met your spouse, to, you know, what happened at your first job. All of those are part of the story that your family really wants to know.
That is so cool. And that is so in line with your archetype brand and everything that you're doing with your law firm. That's so great. I'd love to see people creatively using their brand and their business to help people like that. Sonia, I'm excited to see those questions. So
Sonia, can I safely assume that you're a fan of The Moth?
I am. I'm also very much a fan of StoryCorps. So I sit there and I go, why didn't I come up with that idea, right?
Yeah, I think the whole point of storytelling is that what you're tapping into is personal storytelling, and that's storytelling of all types. We are ingrained as human beings to want to hear stories. And what is marketing but the telling of a story? And if you are trying to get people to connect with your story as a marketer, what better way than to tap into the most powerful emotions that we can as human beings, which are the archetypes? So these all fit together. So this new service that you're creating and the brand that you're evolving and the archetypes, they all dovetail together so beautifully. So, again, kudos for, I didn't realize that you had that offshoot service with the stories. That's awesome.
Thank you. We're just starting it. I was on a walk last week listening to a podcast, and it kind of hit me like a ton of bricks, and I couldn't get home fast enough to start writing down my ideas and when to start it. And even though it's not as polished as I might like it to be, you start it scared and let people start participating now.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a good way to put that.
I was just listening to it was an NPR story. It was just a few weeks ago. And the gentleman who had started this, it was collecting stories from wartime. And, old veterans who had gone through, different campaigns and their stories and the letters that were sent back and forth. It was a huge focus on the letters that were sent during wartime. And I think that there'd be a strong connection there, with what you're trying to do and that whole project. But it's a global initiative of trying to collect these letters and stuff, the stories.
And how fantastic, because that generation is going to be gone very quickly. One of the things that I had asked my dad to do was write down all of his stories, which he's done. And it's now written down in a book. And I still have to throw in some pictures to it and get it published. But it's really nice to read through that 100, 120 pages of what he remembers of life in Germany.
Wow.
That's so awesome.
Powerful stuff. Powerful stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So going back to the brand and the archetype concept that we've been talking about that you have embraced so amazingly, would you mind talking a little bit about why you chose a brand archetype concept or why you like it, like what it's done for you?
So I chose the brand archetype concept because it actually made sense to me. I could see how, well, let's back up. Like we look at how everyone else has different personalities, right? And I could see how my brand could have a personality as well. And it was really nice to be able to have that identity and to have a little bit of a guide to go from. To be honest with you, quite a bit of my brand archetype is my own personality. I had a difficult time separating out what Sonia is as a person to what Regent Law is as a company. But oftentimes it helps me to review all of my words to use and the phrases to use to be in line with my brand, especially if I'm struggling or if I put out a voice that is not quite consistent with that. So that really helps me to maintain that consistency and help be that smiley, happy, fun person that I want my clients to see and be able to communicate with. Brand archetypes has really helped me to keep a focus on where I'm going. And that's what I was looking for at the time, and it was a great strategy. And then I have wonderful friends who are there to help me keep on track and answer all of my questions when I don't really know where to go with it.
So you said that the archetypes keep you on track. So have you had any challenges, or do you have any interesting stories of how the archetypes concept has guided you on that, on those, you know, at those points where you're, you know,
well, we're
fork in the road, take it.
Yeah. Well, where it really helps me is that there's oftentimes that my personality is being quite sarcastic with people and joking with people. And I know that that's not really what my brand does. My brand doesn't joke around with everyone because sometimes that's taken in the wrong way. So if I've written a blog post that has a lot of sarcasm in it, I can pull that back and make sure that it's more in line with what I want to project to all of my readers and to my clients and my future clients, friends of clients, all of those things. It helps to make sure that I am not throwing in too much of being everything. Obnoxious, right?
All the,
of
those the kitchen bits. Sink.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I can't tell you how many times Amy and I will mention that the archetypes not only help you to decide what to do, more importantly, they help you to decide what not to do. And what you just said is a perfect example of that.
It is. And it's also a common problem that you mentioned too about solopreneurs or people that there's like one main person that's making the decisions for the company. I'm like that with my company. Kevin's like that with his currently. And that is a challenge to keep your own personality separate from your brand. However, they do have to jive because you are still the face of your company. You would probably never pick something that was so different from your personality that you'd be doing your brand, you know, because it's got to feel natural. But what you described there is a very common problem or issue that we come across with our clients, and you're right about always going back to the brand voice and keeping you on track. That's a great example.
And not only is it common, I think it's the biggest problem that most solopreneurs or small micro business, even medium and large businesses, if they have not gone through a formal process that clarifies what brand is, what a solid brand strategy is, or what it's based on, the first mistake that they'll make is that they're all over the place, that there is no focus. You know, that's the first and biggest glaring sign that they don't have a process or a strategy in place is that they're all over the place. And it's the hardest thing to fix, because if you've never been taught how to focus, how do you focus? So yeah, that's
right.
It's awesome to hear that that's one of the things that happened immediately. And that's awesome to hear.
Well, and truly, that's one of those things that when I started in that social media class, the idea that brands have a specific focus, I had never realized that. I had never known it. And it really helped me understand what I wanted to do moving forward with all of my marketing and my materials and my brand and everything.
Excellent. I'm glad we could help.
Yeah, absolutely. Any other challenges, any difficulties in the process, or how do you see your brand evolving even now, you know, year and a half or so later?
So I am getting better at making sure that my brand is consistent, right? It's making sure that I am consistent with posting on social media, which I am certainly not. That is still a challenge for me, and it's one of those that I'm striving to overcome. But it's making sure that everything is consistent, and as I move forward in this brand, it's easier for me to stay on track with it. That filter has kind of set its place in my mind where I look at it and go, huh, that would be a really good thing for me to post on Regent's page versus that would be a really good thing for me to post on my personal page and keep off of the business place.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Sonia, I really appreciate you joining us today and talking about your brand journey and adventure that you've been on. And I really encourage anybody who thinks about we get asked a lot, oh, I'm in this particular industry or have this particular service, what archetype should I be? And we've talked about this before, but I think it's worth repeating that Kevin and I's answer is always like, well, we're never going to tell you what archetype to be, but we might suggest ones not to be, because don't be what all your competition is being. And Sonia has been a great example of that. She didn't go with the traditional guru type archetype for her law firm. She went in a different direction, and it's really helped her stand out and make a difference. And I would encourage anybody who's interested in either the mother or the innocent archetype, or to see what other options are out there for law firms and how to market themselves, to definitely check out Regent Law. And Sonia, what's your exact website?
My website is regentlawpc.com. So that's regentlawpc.com.
Excellent. So I would encourage all of our listeners to go check that out and see what Sonia is doing. And as always, I will let Kevin wrap up the rest of our personal, you know, shameless plugs.
Sure. And Sonia, just to let you know, you get the extra credit for the next round of classes for sitting in with
Yay!
Us today.
I can't wait. Because despite my copious notes, there are times when I look at them and go, what on earth did I write? And, you know, going through classes when you have a little bit more information about it, will always help you get more out of the class again. So I can't wait to participate.
Yay. So thank you so much, Sonia. Appreciate the time today. And for our listeners, just a quick wrap up. Be sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram and all the other social media platforms. Sign up for our newsletter. And actually, some interesting news. Amy and I are working with an editor and are in the final throes of finishing the Brand Archetypes book. So hoping to see that in the next handful of weeks, maybe in the next month or so. Not sure exactly the publishing platform, but we're definitely winding that project down. We have not decided what our topic will be for next week. So come back next week for a surprise.
Sounds good. Hope everybody has a great week. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye guys.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes Podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com, where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.